Hello, and thanks for joining us in the Measure Pod, a podcast for people in the analytics world. I'm Dara, I'm MD at Measure Lab, and I'm joined as always by Dan, who is an analytics consultant also here at Measure Lab. Hey Dan, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you?
I'm also good, and I believe we have no news this week, so we're going to launch straight into our juicy topic, which is, drumroll please,
attribution nuances across Universal Analytics and GA4. And it's a bit of a broad, wide-ranging subject, but recently we did a couple of articles around attribution and lots of conversations have been happening, at least internally at Measure Lab. And it actually all started with an article we wrote about explaining the campaign timeout in Universal Analytics. And through that process, actually, because that's still obviously very prominent in terms of a tool and it's still a question people have all the time, or maybe even a feature people aren't even aware of. It's actually wider than that. This is a one feature of the attribution conversation. And as we move to GA4 from something like Universal Analytics, it's not like for like, it is different. And how they approach attribution is completely different. So I thought it'd be a good idea to just discuss it and maybe help ourselves as well as other people that are listening with some of those nuances.
Well, it is a favorite topic of yours, attribution, which might surprise some of our listeners.
That it is, yeah. So I don't know if it makes me an authority, but it definitely makes me opinionated.
And the campaign timeout specifically, that's something that you've got some views on that. I know it's always been something that you've had some strong thoughts on.
Yeah, for sure. And you probably have this as well, Dara, but running Google Analytics training, it's one of those things that you have to introduce quite early on when you talk about Google Analytics, because it has such an impact on a lot of the metrics, especially a lot of the campaign data that you're reporting on in Universal Analytics. So you have to introduce this subject quite early on when you do any kind of training in Google Analytics. But it's also one of those things that it almost feels like it comes out of nowhere. Like it kind of takes people by surprise because it's such a big feature that has such an impact, but most people or a lot of people aren't aware of its existence, let alone the impact it might have. Even people that profess to be advanced at Google Analytics, sometimes this is quite often a feature that they're not unaware of. So it's one of those things that if you know where you're looking and what you're looking for, you can find it quite easily. But if you don't, then it's just one of those things that you would never come across on your own.
So go on then. What is the big impact of the campaign timeout setting?
Well, the campaign timeout, obviously, I won't do as good a job as the article we wrote because that goes into a bit more detail with examples. But ultimately, it comes down to the treatment of the direct channel within Google Analytics. So let's assume quite simplistically at the moment that direct is the channel which is navigational. So if someone comes to visit your website via typing in the URL in the browser bar, I suppose the same can be said for clicking on a bookmarked link as well. If someone visits via one of those methods, that's classed as direct. So it's not organic search, it's not paid search, it's not social, it's direct. And the thing that Google Analytics does is it tries to take value away from direct wherever possible. And the method it's got to do that is using the campaign timeout, which is defaulted to 6 months when you set up Google Analytics, but you can change that, but quite often people don't. What it means is if a direct session has been seen in the data, Google will go back in that user journey up to 6 months to find a non-direct session to then overwrite the direct session with that previous attribution. So what that basically means is if a direct session has been made, so if someone visits your website by clicking a bookmark or just typing in the URL, it's going to go back in your user history, or at least in your Google Analytics history, and find a previous campaign. Let's say the last time you clicked to the website was via an email link, and it's going to copy the email campaign information and it's going to paste it on top of the session today. So in a sense, you've actually had one click from email a couple of days ago, but you'll have multiple sessions in Google Analytics, even if you navigated directly to the website.
And the thinking, the rationale for that is that the assumption, whether you agree with it or not, is that you will be returning directly to the site because of that previous campaign visit. So the only possible reason you would ever have for coming back direct to the site is because you had previously been through a paid campaign. Sorry, I shouldn't say paid campaign. It could be a referring site or a social media link. But it, you know, the only reason you would ever visit directly is because you had previously been through a campaign.
Well, that's the theory at least, right? So, you know, it can't possibly be offline advertising or word of mouth or anything else. No, exactly. There is no such thing. God forbid you went into an actual store, a brick and mortar store, and had some brand awareness that way. So yeah, in a very specific scenario, it makes perfect sense. It's not necessarily a good or a bad feature. It's not something that is inherently good or evil. It, you know, from the context of Google Analytics, it's just a feature that always exists. The way I suppose you can in a sense, understand it or justify it is because Google Analytics is a marketing tool. There's no secret there. It's part of the Google marketing platform. It's built by the biggest marketing company in the world. Direct isn't really a marketing channel. Direct is, in a sense, the absence of a marketing channel. And what we mean is that you can't invest time, money, effort, people, agencies into improving direct. You can do that for every other channel. You can spend more time optimizing email, SEO, display, social. You know, all those channels can be optimized and they can improve. Direct can't. So in a sense, giving value to direct is not as useful as trying to reward it to the previous campaign that you can measure, because you can't do any more of direct even if you wanted to. So I think that's the justification, or at least that's my understanding of the justification behind the window. In practice, it just doesn't work as well as maybe we'd like it to, just because the nuances with direct as a channel. So direct in itself isn't just navigating directly to the website. For example, if you're not using UTMs, quite often that click on that link, regardless of the source, might be classed as direct. So direct is actually, if you're not doing decent UTM tagging of your links, or even if you're not doing it at all, but a lot of your traffic will be classed as direct. And if it's classed as direct, it goes through this crazy 6-month campaign timeout process. So in a sense, let's say you're tagging all your email links, but you're not tagging any of your social links, then anytime someone clicks on a social link, you could be upweighting and reattributing back to the email campaigns. You're bumping up another marketing channel just because you're not using UTMs. It's a very odd process, very odd thing to think about and try to explain in an audio medium, at least anyway.
Probably an important clarification on the campaign timeout is that resets every time you visit the site. So in theory, it could be a lot longer than 6 months, because every time you come back to the site, it's going to extend that cookie lifetime. And of course, I guess another clarification is that this is all based on cookies in the first place, which are becoming less and less reliable. The chances of somebody having a cookie for 6 months is probably pretty slim. But yeah, it's worth noting that that 6 month window could continually get extended if somebody keeps coming back direct to the site.
Yeah, for sure. I think in Safari now, it's got a 7-day cap, right? In quite a lot of instances. And that's assuming you're not doing server-side tagging or anything like that, of course. But yeah, there's very limited situations where someone will have the same cookie for 6 months. But nevertheless, it's still impactful even in a very short term, because any direct navigational visit is then classed as email, social, display, anything else. But actually, this ties into attribution modeling as a whole, because this is talking about session attribution, understanding the source of the click, the source of the session. This campaign timeout messes around with the session attribution. But when we talk about attribution modeling in terms of conversion attribution, it also has a part to play there, because quite often you see documented or written down is that Google Analytics works in a last non-direct click attribution. That's their default model, is last non-direct click. So in a sense, it's saying that if the last click was direct, you go to the previous one. And then if that's direct, you go to the previous one. If that's direct, you keep going back in time until you find something that's not direct, for probably very similar reasons as we discussed for the campaign timeout. However, that's not exactly true. The model it's using is last click. But if you layer on the campaign timeout on top of the last click attribution, that is one and the same thing. So if you're overwriting the session to become not direct wherever possible, that's the same as doing last non-direct attribution. So it's semantics. We're talking about the same thing. However, Google Analytics, a default attribution model, is last click wins, not last non-direct click. But the last click in combination with the campaign timeout is, in a sense, doing last non-direct click. But this is the point, is that it's important to understand the distinction, because you can change that campaign timeout window. So you can make Google Analytics work, or at least the standard reports work, in a pure last click basis. But luckily, we don't need to do too much there, because we do have the multi-channel funnels data and the sets of reports to be able to explore that.
Yeah, and I mean, multi-channel funnel reports are, I was always a big fan. I say always, still am. I'm starting to think about Universal Analytics disappearing now, but I think the multi-channel funnel reports can be really insightful. But that is a different set of reports entirely, completely separate from the traffic data, the acquisition data that you get in the standard reports. And apart from the one change that you mentioned, so you can force the standard reports to be true last click rather than last non-direct by setting the campaign timeout to be zero. But aside from that, you can't change the default attribution model within the standard reports in GA, which has been a frustration, not for everybody, but I know for certain users that has been a frustration over the years, that you haven't been able to actually layer different attribution models over the kind of core reporting data within GA, because the multi-channel funnels reports are a separate set. You don't get to see that data alongside the traffic data for the different channels.
No, but as you said, the multi-channel funnels reports do give you a view of this. So you can go in, almost you can recreate those standard reports by going into two places. It's a bit of a faff, but you can still do it. The multi-channel funnels reports, the reason why they're separate is so that we can do this kind of user journey attribution analysis. But one big thing to bear in mind, if you are looking at the multi-channel funnels reports, there's an API for this as well, if you wanted to pull the data out. But the six-month campaign timeout does not apply there. So direct traffic is classed as direct. And it's a real big distinction, because even things like just doing last click attribution or last non-direct click attribution in the multi-channel funnels reports are not going to match the standard reports, even if it's using a very similar model, just because of the slight differences in how it will work everything out. Again, the big difference between the multi-channel funnels and the core reports within Universal Analytics is the fact that the six-month campaign timer is not present in the MCF reports. But what it does enable us to do is to do our own attribution modeling, or using the standard models if you want to. There's an attribution project beta, I think, that came and went, the way you could use data-driven attribution as well for the free version of GA as well. But at its core, it's a set of reports that enables you to do some attribution reporting. And in the attribution model comparison report, as it suggests, you can compare multiple attribution models side by side. And this is a really good place where you can take that last click and the first click views and the linear and maybe even the data-driven attributions or the time decay models. And you can see them all side by side to get your conversion and revenue numbers by channel. And if you want to go pull the traffic numbers, you can go do that from another report and work out your conversion rates or your ROI if you want to pull in spend as well. So it does give you the option to be able to do all of that stuff. But like I said before, the key thing, let's say if you take a linear attribution model, it will treat direct equally as it would treat every other channel, because everything is what it is. You know, direct is direct, SEO is SEO, paid search is paid search. But in comes GA4, right? That's not how it works in GA4. So I suppose slight left turn and go into the GA4 world. When we're comparing these things, that's where it all changes.
Well, before you get too carried away with the GA4 stuff, that's another interesting quirk, I guess, nuance of the attribution data within Universal. As you say, because if you pick a linear model or time decay model or whatever, because direct is treated as a first class citizen, just like any other channel, if you compare the default last non-direct click model against any other model, pretty much direct suddenly gets a lot more credit and every other channel goes down as a result. I always found that a bit odd. I mean, it makes sense. I understand why, but it does mean that if you pick pretty much any other model and compare it against the default in GA, all of your marketing channels are going to look like they're getting less credit, and direct, this big kind of black hole, like we talked about earlier, which could be a mixture of offline, it could be true direct, and it could also be incorrectly tagged campaign traffic, that's suddenly all going to get more credit in any other model that you compare against.
This is actually really interesting you bring that up. When we talk about this in the Google Analytics training as well, a common initial reaction to this is like, why would you do that? That's stupid. Because in a sense, you can't even measure accurate traffic by channel in GA, right? Because it's manipulating that kind of fundamental number that you kind of expect to do what you think it does. When I say to people, like, if you take it off, you can take the campaign timeout window right down to zero, as you said, Dara. But what's going to happen at the moment, you're artificially upweighting all of your marketing channel performance and you're downweighting direct. If you take that off, obviously it resets back to the norm. But the thing is, for the last 3, 5, 10 years, the norm for you has been this other way around. So it looks like your marketing performance just takes a dive. If you were to turn that window, or that 6 month campaign timeout window, if you turned that off today, as of tomorrow, it will look like your campaign performance data would take a dive. However, that's not true. It hasn't changed. It's just the baseline is resetting. The baseline is becoming more evident, but it's a kind of a very panic inducing, stress, anxiety inducing visual to see in Google Analytics. All of a sudden your conversion rates or even just traffic by marketing channel just take a dive off a cliff for nothing, for no reason. Nothing's actually changed. It's just the way that we're measuring it has changed. So quite often that is a disincentive to actually change it. Because the understanding, the baselines, the benchmark you may have made have all been in one way. And even if you don't agree with it now, it's kind of too late to go back and redo all of that.
Exactly. And a bit like the decision Google would have made in the first instance to downweight direct. There's no perfect way of doing this. You kind of have to accept. We talk about this a lot, don't we? That there's always gaps, flaws, nuances in the data, and it's never going to be perfect. If you try and seek that perfection, you're just going to drive yourself around the bend, because there's always going to be a compromise in one way or the other. And this is just another one of those areas, isn't it, where the general consensus, at least for Google Analytics users, is that direct traffic in GA terms is not a real channel, and therefore it gets downweighted.
I have a really interesting story of actually working with a client a number of years ago. And we all collectively agreed at the relaunch of their new website. We turned off the campaign timeout because measuring accurately traffic volumes by channel was really important to them. And they understood the risks or the change in data they'd expect. And everyone was kind of on board and it was all great. And literally within weeks, I'd say about 4 weeks or so, we had about five questions from different parts of the business of like, why is our numbers looking so low? What's happening? What's gone on? What have you done? And in the end, a couple of months later, I think it may have been only turned off for about 2 or 3 months, their PPC agency convinced them to put it back on because the PPC numbers look too low.
Looks so bad.
So, yeah. So in a sense, it's like, change this feature to make our numbers look better. And they went for it. They ended up doing it. And I felt a little bit frustrated just because we tried to go in with our eyes wide open and understand what the effect would happen. But in a sense, it's like they haven't made the advertising performance any better. They just made it look better via the, in a sense, the attribution model they picked. So I find that a bit disingenuous actually coming from an agency. It's like, we need our numbers to look better, not be better, but look better. And so can you turn this odd feature that you didn't want on in the first place, can you turn it back on, please? So yeah, it was a, I'm not going to name any names, but it was an interesting couple of weeks, you know, going into it. We all agreed, we went into it, and then we backtracked out because of an agency's numbers looked too low.
Yeah, and that's a common theme with attribution, isn't it? This is a conversation we've had so many times where different people are going to have a different view of how they'd like to cut up the same pie. Yeah, it's often a case of making the numbers look better rather than making any actual positive changes.
You can actually make the numbers say whatever you want to say. And that's the risk of attribution modeling as a concept at all, because you can pick a model that makes your numbers look more favorable, your channel, your campaign, your remit look better in some way or another. And actually, we see this already, whether you were aware of it or not. So if you go into each advertising platform, let's say I go into Google Ads or Facebook Ads or Microsoft Ads, whatever ad platform I go into, or even your ESP, when they do any kind of performance reporting, well, you have to use an attribution model if you're doing any performance reporting. So they're going to be using an attribution model that quite understandably makes their numbers look more favorable so that you spend more money and invest in them and keep going, right? And Google Ads does this. Everything gets attributed back to the last Google Ads click, because why wouldn't you if you're Google Ads? And the same happens in other ad platforms too, including impression data where possible, again, tries to upweight and attribute everything back to the channel that you're spending money through ultimately. So right now, if you've got an agency or if you've got marketers in-house and you're working with five different ad platforms and Google Analytics, you have six different attribution models all telling you exactly the same thing, but you're cutting that pie in different ways. It's not saying one is wrong, one is right. It's not saying that, why is my Google Ads report saying I made 15 grand this month and Google Analytics is saying 5 grand? Neither one is incorrect. It's just a different lens you apply on the data to tell you a slightly different story. And again, that's the potential damage that the attribution modeling can do, because if you take the best model in each case for each channel and add them all together, you're all over-reporting, right? You're all claiming the same conversions and the same revenue. So I suppose the nice thing about Google Analytics, or at least the nicest thing about Google Analytics, is that it is a multi-channel reporting tool. It does measure all marketing channels in a relatively equal basis. The totals will still match, basically. If you take all of the different numbers out of Google Analytics and add them together, they're still going to be the total. We're not going to be over or duplicating any values here.
I took you away from your favorite subject. You were just about to take us on to some of the differences in GA4, and then I clung on to the past and dug a bit deeper into Universal Analytics. But let's tackle GA4. So how is GA4 different? I know, for example, there's no campaign timeout in GA4. How else is GA4's approach to attribution different from Universal?
Yeah, you're quite right. There is no campaign timeout, or at least there's no campaign timeout window we can configure anymore. And I think that's a big distinction. Everything comes back to attribution modeling again. And rather than having these two concepts of attribution modeling and campaign timeout windows, they've kind of rolled them all up into one thing now. So you won't see any mention of campaign timeouts, but every single attribution model in Google Analytics 4, unlike Universal Analytics, excludes direct wherever possible. So the last click attribution in GA4 is technically last non-direct click. The first click attribution in GA4 is first non-direct click, I suppose. So whatever model you use, whatever attribution model you use, there's always a small asterisk and a fine print that it's like excluding direct, whereas in Universal Analytics, it wouldn't. So that example we had about using linear attribution rewarding direct equally the same as any other channel if it was present in the user journey is not the case for GA4. So it might come out to the same kind of result. You could even recreate this kind of modeling in GA3 in Universal, because you can do custom attribution models in Universal Analytics. You can actually build your own, let's say, linear attribution and add a rule to remove the value for direct down to zero. So I think you can recreate that, but as a default, as a standard, GA4 excludes Direct everywhere, and there is no options to not do that. Whereas in Universal Analytics, it defaulted to include Direct everywhere, and you had the options to remove it. So again, it's just another thing to be slightly aware of when it comes to GA4. You are, in a sense, still downweighting Direct. Direct still has the same nuances in Universal Analytics. So if you're not doing your UTM tagging properly, or if you're not doing it across all marketing channels, Direct means an awful lot more than navigational traffic as well. So still the same nuances, still the same caveats. The only difference is that you are going to be downweighting Direct a lot more in GA4 than you ever did in Universal.
I'm guessing the answer is no here, but just to be really clear, there's no dimension that tells you if it was a Direct session, or is there no equivalent to the conversion paths report that you get in multi-channel funnels in Universal?
Yeah, so you still get, rather than calling them multi-channel funnels, it's now the advertising workspace. And there are two reports in there. It's basically MCF reports, but reskinned for the GA4 world. And you get your attribution model comparison report, and you also get your conversion path report. So you do get both of those in GA4. It's just that the modeling won't value Direct unless it's the only channel used.
So there is a paths report that is equivalent to multi-channel funnels conversion paths. So you can see conversion paths with the true steps in the journey. Is it in the aggregated data? It doesn't give a value, or?
Yeah, it's in the attribution modeling. It's the model rules ignore Direct wherever possible, regardless of what attribution model you pick. So there is no attribution model where you kind of reward Direct equally or fairly. The only time Direct gets any value is if it's the only channel used in the user journey. But there's another can of worms there that we won't open too much, but just to kind of tap on the lid, as it were. You mentioned about the Direct being the attribution for the session. And there's a slight nuance now in GA4 where a session can have multiple different channels, multiple different campaigns. So in Universal Analytics, if you reset your campaign somehow, let's say you had different UTMs, you clicked via a PPC ad, you left, you came back via an email, that would be a new session. In GA4, it doesn't. So there's now a question mark around that session now has PPC and email attached to it. Which one do you attribute to? Which one do you class as the session attribution? Is all a whole world of interesting different ways of cutting this data. All of this data is available, of course, via the BigQuery export because it's an event schema. So each event has its own attribution. And then as you aggregate up into sessions, you can see how many different channels someone's used within the course of that one session. And then you can do your own, obviously, attribution modeling on top of that.
Does the export treat Direct traffic as Direct traffic?
Yes, from what I understand, Direct is treated Direct because it's, in a sense, it's the absence of a campaign. So the source medium campaign field will be blank because there is no campaign. Just because, again, Direct isn't a specific type of navigation. It's not actually typing in the URL. It's the absence of any UTMs. And it just assumes an absence of UTM is Direct. And that's how we're doing it. If there was UTMs, it gets pulled through into those fields, those respective campaign fields.
And I guess that there's a point that highlights, which is if there's any activity that you possibly can tag, then do so. Otherwise, it's just going to go into this unknown Direct bucket, which could contain any number of different activities. So if it's within your control to tag incoming traffic, then do so.
Yeah, exactly. It's just make sure you do UTM tagging as effectively and efficiently as possible and consistently so that all channels are tagged wherever possible. Again, with GA being a multi-channel measurement tool, if you don't tag one channel, it actually affects every other channel. So especially in Universal Analytics, because you have no real control over this 6-month campaign timeout, or people are unlikely to take it off. So you can't use Google Analytics just to measure PPC. It doesn't work that way. You have to measure all of it or none of it to have the best quality data. Otherwise, what's going to happen is everything you are measuring is going to get upweighted by everything you're not measuring. And it's not a very fair representation. We've seen this happen a number of times, actually. We start working with a new client and it turns out that they haven't UTM tagged their email or their social media activity, as just an example. And as they start tagging the email and the social activity, you see the value of something like organic search slightly go down because it's taking away some of that attribution through that window.
This is going to sound a lot easier to do than it actually is, but you could, if you wanted to, you could use the BigQuery export. You could create any custom attribution modeling you want if you have the skill set to do so, including treating Direct differently to how, if for some reason you decide, actually, I don't want Direct to always be downweighted, you can create your own custom logic for that through the BigQuery export.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I'll try and find a couple of links to copy and paste attribution models you can use yourself, even if you're not proficient in the BigQuery world or the SQL world. So there's loads of people out there because The lovely thing about the BigQuery export for something like GA4 is because it's standardized across everyone that's got this export, it's the same schema. A lot of people are sharing their code on GitHub or they write their own blogs with code you can copy and paste and use yourself, including things like attribution. So rather than letting the advertising platform Google do your attribution for you, because if you wanted to have, I suppose, the least biased perspective and do it yourself, you have that ability. But like you said, as long as you've got the skills to be able to do that, otherwise it just might not be an option for a lot of people.
No, and I wonder, so obviously, as we kind of covered a little bit earlier, in Universal, you've got a custom model builder that could be introduced as a new feature to GA4, but I'll go out on a limb and say, I think that's probably unlikely because firstly, you've got the option to have the raw data exported to BigQuery, which obviously you had with Universal as well, or have with Universal, but only for 360 customers. But with GA4, it's going to make it even more accessible. And also because they're relying on data-driven modeling, I'm not sure why they would allow you to create your own custom attribution models. It seems like they want to make this a little bit black box.
I think that's it really, isn't it? It's the fact that they've gone all in, all their eggs are in this data-driven attribution basket, all their modeling techniques. And I know we've mentioned a number of times about all the different models that GA4 are introducing, but data-driven attribution is very, very important to them. For one thing, it is using your own data to predict forward and all the other crazy stuff, but it also means that they can layer in biases and nuances if they really wanted to upweight the Google advertising ecosystem, which again, you can't blame them, but again, it doesn't put your data quality at the center, it puts their profit margins at the center, right? You're quite right with the data-driven attribution. I don't think they're going to even look or entertain the idea of custom attribution modeling because of the export, because of data-driven attribution. But they're moving Search Ads 360, Google Ads, DV360, all of them are being moved over to data-driven attribution models in some form or another because of very similar things. And even GA4 now defaults you to data-driven attribution. So I think, in a sense, they've invested a lot of time, effort, and probably a lot of capital in doing this. I'm sure they're not going to enable us to undo a lot of that.
No, and also just thinking about this, if the default position in Universal is last non-direct click attribution, and the majority of websites are still using that, this is the reality. As much as we've probably talked, and lots of people have talked about different attribution models over the years, the default attribution modeling in Universal Analytics is still by and large the one that's used for reporting data. If the default in GA4 is data-driven attribution modeling, then surely that's a step forward, like a big step forward. So for anyone who wants to do their own custom attribution modeling, you can do that. You can do it through BigQuery. For anyone else, this is a tricky thing to say, because what I was going to say is the data quality is going to be improved by the fact that they're using data-driven modeling, but then you've got all the other issues working against that in terms of less collected data because of cookie issues, etc. So on balance, maybe this is an area that's improving, but then that's just trying to offset some of the degradation of the data quality in other areas. So I don't know. On balance, it's probably a good thing.
It swings and roundabouts, isn't it? It's not better or worse, it's just different. And actually, this is one of my biggest recommendations with Google Analytics, well, with any data product actually, but specifically talking about Google Analytics 4 a lot at the moment, is that it doesn't matter if you have the skills to go and undo this or do this yourself. And we're talking about if you've got a team of data scientists and engineers that can pipe the data out, play around with it, do your own reporting, then awesome, great, go do that. Even if it's purely to validate their modeling, just to see if they are biased or not, you know, you can play around with a lot of the clever stuff if you have the availability or access to those resources. Most people don't. And it's not about tough, you're out of luck, you can't use this stuff anymore, sorry. That's really not the message that I at least want to portray. The point with all this stuff is just being aware of what's going on so that at least you have an understanding of what they're doing with the data before you make really big decisions potentially around your marketing mix or your investments or even the kind of the business or the merchandising even that you might have on the website. So understand the perspective Google's coming at it from, understand what they're doing to the data, even if it's not down to the exact models they're using, but it's understanding what their approach is and how they're manipulating data in the broadest sense so that when you do decide to do your analysis, do your reporting, take action off the back of it, at least you have that in the back of your mind, you know, to be like, oh, it looks like display has got a 300% ROI. That's great. Let's double the investment there. You think, oh, actually, wait a sec. We don't tag any of our email activity with UTMs. Maybe we should do that first. Maybe before I start shifting around thousands of pounds of budget per week, per month, maybe I should take a breath and see if there's another way to look at this. And especially when it comes to applying different attribution models, Google does make it very easy for us to layer on different models to just see different perspectives, basically. It's different opinions of the same data. It's like asking five different people what they think. That's what each attribution model is doing. So yeah, like I say, it's not about having the skills. It's more about just being aware of what's going on so that when the time comes to make some decision, you don't go headfirst into something that you might regret later on.
I think that's a good place to draw a line under this for now. I know it's a topic that certainly you could talk about forever, I would imagine. In fact, this is going to bleed into your wind down. Is your wind down this week going to be working on attribution modeling, thinking about attribution modeling?
I'd love to say yes, but no. It's actually the last 2 weeks or so has been completely taken up with the snooker world championship. For anyone that does enjoy snooker, I do. It's almost quite zen. It's quite meditative watching. So I love watching it. And then it's very quiet. It's very uneventful. And that's actually one of the reasons why I like watching it. But the World Championships are probably one of the biggest tournaments of the calendar, wrapped up this last weekend on the bank holiday Monday. Yeah, congrats Ronnie O'Sullivan. Won his 7th world title. Very impressive. Yeah, let's see if he can break the title next year and win it again, eh?
Well, I also watched the snooker, but I'm not going to piggyback on yours too much. I did watch it. It was great. But I also went and saw Gary Newman perform in Brighton on Sunday night at the Brighton Centre. Gary Newman, in case you don't know, is an electronic musician. Well, kind of electronic rock crossover. So it was really, really good. He put on a really good show. He's 64 and he was jumping around the stage and rocking out. So it was really, really impressive. And I also went and saw the new Downton Abbey film at the cinema.
No.
I'm not sure what that says about me. and I think I enjoyed that as much as Gary Newman.
Are you up to date then? Have you watched every Downton Abbey TV show and everything?
Maybe. So what if I have?
Nothing. There's no judgment. It's just very interesting, very curious. I don't think I would have put you as a Downton Abbey fan.
I don't think I would have put myself as a Downton Abbey fan. It's just, it's nice. Everything works out in the end. It's all very happy.
No, spoilers. We don't want to know it's a happy ever after situation.
Yeah. So everyone ends up happy except all the terrible things that happen.
Okay, cool.
All right. Where can people find out more about you, Dan?
As ever, on LinkedIn, probably the best place to get in touch if you want to. And on my website, dananalytics.co.uk. And for whenever I post, there's a email subscribe link there to get an email whenever I post stuff to the blog.
And for me, it's LinkedIn. You can look me up on LinkedIn and find me on there. All right, that's it from us for this week. You can find out more about us at measurelab.co.uk, or you can listen to our previous episodes in our archive over at measurelab.co.uk/podcast. As ever, if you want to suggest a topic or come on the show and talk to us about that topic, you can reach out to Dan or myself or both of us on LinkedIn, or you can email us at podcast@measurelab.co.uk. Our theme music is from Confidential. You can find links to their Spotify and Instagram in the show notes. I've been Dara, joined by Dan. So it's a bye from me.
And bye from me.
See you next time.
Yeah, let's do that again. Let's do that again.